and Merry Christmas. If you can grab your hymnals, we open up the song 423. Song 423, Joy to the World. Song 423. Glory in that, Father, and let us sing and praise that, Father, and pray that the preaching that Pastor comes up and preaches with is with power, with authority, Lord, and praises you on this Christmas day. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's turn to our next song, Song 421. Song 421, the first Noel. Song 421.
Thank you.
this morning. And it's great to have you all here with us at Stronghold Baptist Church on this Christmas Sunday. One good thing about coming to church this morning is there was no traffic, right? We no one had a problem getting here. The roads were bare. Well, it was kind of sad, I guess. I'm glad that you came to celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day in church. And coming here and being able to sing praises unto the Lord as a church family. And we appreciate y'all being here. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. So if you do not have one of these bulletins, just lift your hand up real high and we'll get one out to you. Keep your hand raised. One of the ushers will get to you with a bulletin. And if you open up to the first page, you will see our service times listed. Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening, this is a one-time deal here. We're going to be moving our evening service up this afternoon to 3 p.m. instead of the normal 5 p.m. So today only, we're going to be meeting again at 3 p.m. And that is in order to accommodate the potluck that we have for this afternoon. So if you want to just skip over real quick to the other page where it says Merry Christmas at the top, please join us for some great food and fellowship after our morning service and celebrate Christmas as a church family. Everybody is welcome. We hope that you can all stick around and eat some food with us. Whether or not you brought anything, it doesn't matter. We have plenty of food. I can tell just by the looks of the attendance right now that we have more than enough. We planned for a little bit more than what I'm seeing in the crowd right now. So we are going to be totally set. We'd love to have you come and stick around with us. Everything is warming. You'll be able to smell it during service. So if that doesn't entice you, I don't know what will, right? Stick around. We've got plenty of fun and fellowship, food. We're gonna enjoy this day together. And then, so I'm gonna ask also for any of our church members. We're gonna set up more tables, kind of in that back area in that new space. And anyone that can help with that is much appreciated. Obviously, we need to get the chairs moved around as well. So what we'll do is, as we've been doing anytime we have these events, we'll pick up all the songbooks off the chairs, we'll stack them up nice and neat, and get everything set up as soon as service ends. And then, of course, we'll eat together and then set everything back up for our church service at 3 p.m. And I don't have it in the bulletin, but please don't mind all of the construction work that's going on. God's been blessing our church. We've been able to expand into the next space. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of problems getting the inspections scheduled. So we've kind of been in disarray for a few weeks now, but as soon as we get the inspection cleared, which I actually have a date now, next Wednesday the 28th, we do have it scheduled. So once they can come in, as long as everything goes well, they can cover everything back up and then we'll be able to move forward. So that is the plan with the with that. I was able to meet up with the contractor yesterday and just make sure that we're on the same page with everything being done to our specifications, and everything is going well on that front. But we're just very thankful that we've been able to expand. But please just, I did my best yesterday to try to make sure things are covered up. I've got that back room kind of isolated, and there's a ton of work that still needs to be done. So anyone that wants to help with the building stuff, we appreciate that. And in fact, this also is not in the announcements, but next week on Saturday, the event is on the back. We got the New Year's Eve fellowship from 2 to 7. But if anyone wants to come early, I'm going to be here early that day to do some extra work around the building, do some extra painting, do some things like that before we have that fellowship starting at 2. So anyone that wants to come a little bit early and help out with the building stuff, I'd appreciate that. We'll provide you with lunch. And that's going to be a date, because here's the thing. Once we get the inspection next week, hopefully they can just get everything patched up. But then we still have to paint. I removed the aspect of the project for the contractors to paint. It's not worth it. At the time, I thought it would be, because I thought everything was just going to be done real quick and then they could get the job completed, but it's taking a little bit longer. And we have all the supplies and materials for the painting, so I'm not going to have them do the painting. We're going to save some money that way. But then that means we have to get it done, and we need to get that done, or I'd like to get that done, before we get the new carpeting that's going to be installed that's already on order now as well. So I'm expecting 2 weeks for the installation of the carpet. So if everything works out, next week we have the inspection. everything should get patched up by Saturday, and then Saturday we could start painting. Is my hope, my plan, that will go the way that I'd like to see it go. So, if you'd like to come, all that said, you want to come and help out on Saturday morning, we'd love to have you here. For the, otherwise, you know, show up for the New Year's Eve fellowship, and we'd hope to see you there. All right, let's get back to our normal announcements here. Soul winning opportunities are listed there on that first page. Salvations and baptisms for the month of December as well as for the year. We're going to count up. If anyone has any salvations to report for the week, just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get those counted. Anyone? All right. And then, of course, this afternoon, if anyone's interested in going soul winning this afternoon, it's going to be after the evening service. So anyone that plans on doing that, just stick around. I'll ask after the evening service if anyone is planning on going soul winning today, and we'll get you set up with an area. And what's going to happen is anyone who wants to go soul winning today, you'll get sent out, and then that's it. You'll just end up going home from that, right? We're not going to meet back up here. Obviously, you could if you need to, if you want to, but if you have to keep it up, you know, we're gonna part our separate ways after you get your areas for anyone that wants to go soul in this afternoon, and then we could just make sure you bring your maps back on the next church service that you attend, and we'll get those collected. All right, offering totals through the month of December down there at the bottom of the page. Prayer requests, we have the new addition here. Please pray for Andy Schaefer, who's having heart surgery. I believe the date was January 8th. I have it written down, and also for his salvation, that this is Brother Will's friend, Will Crane, and just pray that everything goes well. Pray that God will soften his heart. Pray that God will give Will an opportunity to speak to him about being saved, and that his heart surgery will go well. Also pray for Josh and Liza Hill, who are, have they already made it? Does anyone know that they make it to their destination? You know, I heard from them, because I know they were traveling, yes sir.
They did, yeah.
They did make it. All right, very good. So they're safe. Pray for their safety, obviously, as they're out of country, visiting family, and ultimately, though, what they really want to do is try to get as many family members saved as they can. That is the biggest objective, as they spend time with Liza's family. All right, and then we added Steadfast Baptist Church back to prayer requests, as they are, again, looking for a location to meet. They've been dealing with all the people who have been trying to cancel that church. We need our prayers and our support. On the next page, of course, I just went over the potluck that we're having after church this morning. December challenge, so we're getting near an end. We got another week left of December, and the challenge for this month is stop listening to worldly music, and then also sing 4 hymns every day. And then in January, so 1 week from today, it'll be January 1st, we're starting our Bible reading challenge, and the challenge for next month is to read the entire New Testament in that month. You got 31 days in January. If you read at a pace of 9 chapters per day, you will accomplish this goal with 2 days to spare. So just keep that in mind. Plan accordingly. And of course, for our challenges, most of our challenges, we give out prizes. So both of these will be giving out prizes for anyone who complete these challenges, as well as the Bible memory passage. So we are in Hebrews chapter 6 as a church, week 5 of 11. And if you could quote this passage out loud without making any mistakes, you'll earn a prize for being able to do that by the end of our 11 weeks. There, upcoming birthdays and anniversaries are listed down there at the bottom of the page. On the back, we've got our upcoming events. As I mentioned, New Year's Eve Fellowship, homeschool field trip, January 10th. There is a soul winning marathon that I've just been informed of by Brother Robert Gray and Thomas Sterling. Okay, these people, some of you have already met. If you've been to some of our previous soul winning marathons, the past 2 recent ones, I know Robert Gray was at both of them, the one in Alabama as well as the one in Columbia, South Carolina. So he is helping his church, and Tommy's church is in Columbia. They're joining together to go to Savannah, Georgia to do a soul winning event there. And they've invited our church to come along and help out if we'd like to. It's kind of odd. You know, normally we're the ones inviting everyone to go to the events out here. We've been invited by other churches. You know what? Praise the Lord for that. I'm really, really excited to see that, to hear about that. So anyone who's interested in that, I'm not certain if I'm going to be able to make that or not. I'm going to be out of town that week, earlier in the week. So that's the Saturday. But I will provide all the details. They are requesting for a head count because they're going to be providing lunch and they want to have an idea of who's going to come. So I will ask in a couple of weeks to get a show of hands of who's planning on attending, but I wanted to throw this out there and just let you know what's going on. That's in Savannah, Georgia on that Saturday the 21st. It looked like their schedule is very similar to what we've done in the past, so you can keep that in mind too if you're going to plan a trip out there. Also, we have gifts, right? Henry family has provided some gifts for church members. Is that the deal?
Yes, sir. They're called lithops. His name is their little succulent, also known as living stones. But there's enough for one per adult in the family.
Okay, one per household. Yes.
One of the two. It depends on if you want.
How many you got?
49.
49. Yeah, let's limit it to one per household. If anyone comes in the afternoon, we might have a few extra. Or if some kid just has to have an extra one, you can go ahead and take two. But we appreciate the Henry family. And then we also have, for everyone in attendance today, one per household. We've got these King James Bible verse 2023 calendars. So appreciate y'all being here. And I'm going to ask the ushers if you could please come up and help distribute these right now. I don't think it'll be too much of a distraction while during church. It'll be like, oh man, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not like we're giving out little toys here. So I just want to make sure everyone is able to get one. I appreciate your help with that. And we appreciate you being here. We love celebrating the birth of our Savior. And this is why we give gifts, because we love people and we want to celebrate. It's not about the gift, but we celebrate, we give gifts in order to celebrate, in order to show people our love. So that is what it's all about here. And I think that's about it for now. So I'm going to stop rambling up here because I still have a sermon to preach and we're going to be getting hungry as you smell that food. Everything's open, by the way, too. There's going to be a lot of drinks in that black refrigerator. There's waters in the what is that called? The black fridge, of course, but then in the cooler. Cooler. So keep on calling it an ice box. Cooler. Next to the fridge. Sorry, I didn't get much sleep last night. I'll be honest with you. And yeah, so what we're gonna do is at the end of service, we're gonna line up. We try to get all the food set up here in one place so we can hopefully be able to utilize both sides and try to do this as quickly as possible. So after service, I'll pray. We'll get the table set up and then we just get people going through there. Don't be shy. Anyone can just start getting food because it's gonna take a while for everyone to get through that line. So the faster we get people with initiative, just start going, then we'll get everyone through as quickly as possible. And that's it for our announcements. So if for some reason you didn't get a calendar and we missed you, they are up here at this table. Go ahead and help yourself to one. And then, that's it. All right, Brother Peter, come on up and lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals, song number 426. Psalm 426, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Psalm 426.
I've got a Western.
collect their Sunday morning offering. I can ask the ushers if they can go ahead and plate the form. And church, while the offering plates are being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we'll read the entire chapter. I'd like to ask Brother Devin if he can please do that for us.
That was Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And what hand, and the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the Highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Let's pray. Brother DJ, can you pray for us, please?
All right, before we even get started with the sermon, I just want to say thank you to everyone who helped decorate the church. I know I come in here this morning, and I got a lot of things on my mind, and I'm not always showing my appreciation, but I am appreciative of everyone who's put in the time and the effort to help make the place look really nice and who's helped with the food and everything else. So just thank you very much. I want to make sure that I recognize all that you have done, and it does mean a lot to me. I know it means a lot to everyone else in the church too. So thank you all for all your dedication in helping out with the church. So this morning, of course, is Christmas Day, and I want to preach a sermon about Jesus, because Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It's about our Savior. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about all the commercialism. It's not about everything that the world tries making Christmas about. Okay, it truly is about the birth of our Savior. And today I'm going to be preaching two sermons, and they go hand in hand. And this morning's sermon, I'm going to be preaching on Jesus, the Son of God. And in the afternoon, I'm going to preach on Jesus, the Son of Man. He's known in Scripture as the Son of Man and the Son of God. And both terms are extremely important. Both of them help us to understand who our Savior is. And I'm dealing with this morning the Son of God. We read Luke chapter 1. I want you to look down in verse number 31. This is before Mary gives birth, and she's approached by the angel, and she's told what's going to happen, and she's, you know, presented with this this great honor of being the woman that's going to carry the Son of God into this world through her womb. Verse number 31, the Bible reads, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And when she says, I don't know a man, she's talking about being a maid or being a virgin. Yeah. Okay, she was espoused to Joseph, her husband, but they had not consummated the marriage yet. And she's approached here saying, well, how is this even possible? Because I haven't been with a man, so there's no way, how is it possible I'm going to be pregnant? And then the angel explains in verse 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, here we get a very good explanation as to why Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. And also we're going to see later he's called the Son of Man. Why is he called the Son of Man? Because Mary is his mother, because he has a physical, earthly mother that brought him into this world. So he has, he's a man. But on the other hand, he doesn't have an earthly father. The conception took place through the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary. And therefore, the Bible says he's going to be called the Son of God, because the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ, right? The Father is the Father of the Son. That kind of makes sense. But God the Father is the Father of God the Son. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ came into existence as a being at the conception of Mary, right? We know for a fact that as much as God is everlasting, the Father is eternal, so is the Son, so is the Holy Ghost. We believe in the Holy Trinity, that God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and none of which has, you know, there's one God, and God has no beginning and no ending. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, Jesus Christ has no beginning. Now, he was brought into this world through Mary, but that doesn't mean he didn't exist already eternally in time past, okay? Of course, Jesus Christ existed. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word in John chapter 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a few verses later, it says, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the only begotten of the Father, we'll see this, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, the deity of Jesus Christ being God and being called the Son of God go hand in hand, but I'm going to try to focus more on just the fact that he is the Son of God, because they are slightly different from each other. The fact that he's the Son of God isn't exactly the same that he is God, although both are completely true, okay? And I preach a sermon in the past called The Eternal Sonship of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ has always been the Son of God. But again, I'm not going to, there's a lot of things that we could unwrap here, but I really just want to focus on where the Bible is talking about Jesus being the Son of God and how critical that this is. You know, we're celebrating the birth. We're celebrating the birth of a son. That son was Jesus Christ. And the fact that he's the Son of God is absolutely critical. There's a reason why in the beginning of the Gospels, when we see the first attacks of Satan on Jesus Christ, of course, other than when he's an infant and when he's trying to devour him, get him killed, we see Jesus beginning his earthly ministry and Satan coming and tempting him. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, one of the first things we see coming out of the gate that Satan is doing to Christ is he's questioning, well, hey, if you're really the Son of God. That's his big deal. Now, he's trying to get him to sin. He's trying to trick him and deceive him and get him to do some things that are sinful. But the first words, basically, out of his mouth, look at verse number 3 of Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So right off the bat, he's quite, now, why should that even matter? Well, it matters a lot. As we get into this, you're going to see how much that really matters. It actually impacts our salvation. We have to believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for our salvation. And you'd say, well, doesn't everyone believe that? No, everyone doesn't believe that. Maybe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's many cults out there who don't believe this. For example, and when I say cults, large cults, I'm not just talking about, you know, the Jim Jones cults or those types of cults, but like, say, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Very large organization, but it's a cult. Okay, it is a cult. And they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, they'll say that they believe that, but they don't really. They actually believe that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. Yeah, go try to wrap your head around that one. A lot of people say things because if you see the Son of God so many times in the Bible, you can't just say, no, I don't believe that. So you have to try to figure out a way to not believe that. But they don't believe that Jesus Christ is deity. They don't believe that he's even the Son of God at the end of the day. The Mormons don't believe that. There's plenty of people out there in this world, the Islam, and this is another reason why I wanted to preach this sermon too. I just started a series on Islam and exposing Islam. We've been dealing with more Muslims when we go out and preach the gospel. So it's important to understand what their belief system is and try to be able to show them the light and show them the truth. But they, you know, Islam claims to believe in Jesus. So, you know, you talk to them and say, oh yeah, you know, we believe in Jesus like you. He was a great prophet. Yeah, but was he the Son of God? See, that's where they're going to say no. And how many Muslims are there in the world today? There's a lot of people. A lot of people don't believe on the Son of God. Okay, but the Son of God, it's important that we understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Satan's trying to tempt him, saying, well, yeah, if you're really the Son of God, hey, why don't you command that these stones be made bread? Jesus answers him, and look around in verse number 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. You're in chapter number 4. So we see these first two statements, the first two attacks of the devil is, hey, if you're really the Son of God, well, I'm not saying you're not, but, you know, if you really are the Son of God, then why don't you do these things? Because the Son of God would totally be able to do these things. That's the way Satan's attacking him here. But he's attacking the fact that he is the Son of God. When the devils met Jesus, they knew who he was. They knew who he was already. They even knew who he was before most people knew who he was. Why would that be? Because the devils are older than the human beings who have been interacting with Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as I mentioned before, didn't just come into existence at his physical birth. He was eternally existent prior to that. So when the devils saw Jesus Christ, they recognized him as not just God, but the Son of God. Look at verse number 28 in Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says, "And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They know their days are numbered. They know that they're going to be tormented, and they know that Jesus Christ is going to be the one to do it to them. But notice they also recognize him as the Son of God. And they're not just saying that because he was born of Mary. They know who he is. He is the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He's always the Son of God. Real famous passage, turn if you would to John chapter 3. As we talk about the importance of the Son of God and knowing who Jesus is and accepting and believing the fact that he is the Son of God, it is inherent that we have the right Jesus. The Muslim Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Muslim Jesus is not the Son of God. How important is it that he's the Son of God? Well, look at John 3:16, probably the most famous passage in the entire Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Believe in who? The Son. The only begotten Son. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Now look, again, going back to, I didn't really want to get too far into this, but the fact that Jesus Christ, he was already the Son when God sent him into the world. As it says here, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He was sending him, still being his Son, before he was ever born of Mary. And that's why he had his instructions. He had everything. He had the whole plan. And if you think about his earthly ministry, he says, you know what? I do always those things that please my Father. And he's not just saying that because of his physical birth. It's because Jesus Christ is that part of the Godhead, is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as they've eternally existed for all time. Very important doctrine. Why is it important doctrine? Because there's a lot of people out there, even creeping into Baptist churches, that believe in this oneness garbage where they're trying to say that Jesus is the Father and, you know, that there's no, basically, you know, they'll try to say there's a distinction, but they just say that, well, Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the Father, and that they're all just the same thing. And they're not all the same. They're not all the same. It's very important. Now, there's one God, because they'll try, oh, you believe in three gods. No, we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God that exists in three persons. Jesus Christ is the express image of his person, the Father's person, the Bible says. That's something that you would never think should even come under attack. It's been accepted so long as just orthodox doctrine amongst Christians, believing in the Trinity, but it does. And we ought to understand why we believe what we believe, too, and not just accept it because it's been accepted for so long. And that's what gets you into trouble, is if you just accept things that people have accepted for a long time and you say, oh, I don't even heard anyone who denies the Trinity. Well, you know what? They're going to be out there. And if you don't understand why you believe, or you don't understand what you believe about the Bible, look, you need to have this knowledge for yourself. Have your own faith. Be able to understand why you believe the things that you believe from the Word of God. so that you're not deceived by the deceivers out there that want to preach these false, damnable heresies unto you. And yes, it is a damnable heresy when people are trying to attack who Jesus Christ is. Who he is. Why is it important? Well, I mean, just to break it down for real simple terms, think about this. Why does it matter who Jesus Christ is? Well, it matters who Jesus Christ is because he's supposed to be the one who paid for our sins. And I explain this out so many to people all the time. I try to preach people the gospel. You know, we're all sinners. You and I are sinners. We have our own sins and the own debt that we owe to God because of our sin. Because of that, there is absolutely no way that God would accept a payment that I could make for somebody else's sin. That's impossible. I can't pay for your sins. I have my own that would take an eternity to pay for by myself. So there's no way you could tack on. It's like having multiple life sentences, right? Like you have one life. You can't do that, right? I know they do that here, you know, in our justice system, but in God's justice system, if you're guilty of everlasting punishment, there's no end to that. So you can't just keep piling on more. It's just ridiculous because it goes on forever. So you can't pay for someone else's. But Jesus was able to pay for ours. Why? Because he is sinless. Why? Because he's Son of God. And, you know, being sinless, there's one that's holy, right? Jesus said that there's none righteous, no, not one. Right? There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. Oh, but Jesus did. It's important. It's an important attribute of who Jesus Christ is. So we need to have the right Jesus. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Look at this. "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You have to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God to be saved. This impacts your salvation, believing on the Son of God and who he is, and that Jesus is the Son of God. Flip over, if you would, to John chapter 9. And I want to show you, you know, obviously, John chapter 3, by the way, a lot of people don't even realize this. You know, John 3:16 and stuff like that is talking about the Son. That was Jesus Christ speaking. Like, those are his words. He's talking about the Son of God. He's talking about believing in the Son of God. He's basically talking about people need to believe on him. He's referring to himself as the only begotten Son of God. But to prove this further, in John chapter 9, we're going to see that Jesus definitively, unequivocally claimed to be the Son of God. There was no doubt. People like to try to cast shade on that too. Like, oh, well, he didn't really, the Bible says he didn't claim to be God. They'll say he didn't claim this and claim that. Yes, he did. Oh, that was just his disciples. No, it wasn't. Where did they get that idea from? They got it from him. Jesus said this in John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Now, do we see any other people in the story talking with this man? It's not like a group of people. It's Jesus and this man talking to each other. So when he says, "You've seen him," because he's looking at him, "and it is he that talketh with thee," he's talking about himself. And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Which, again, I mean, throughout the Bible, we're going to see it. Turn if you to John chapter 20. People like the Muslims, they say, oh, they want to believe in Jesus and say he was this holy prophet and he was this man of God. See, at least the Jews, they'll never say that. To their own demise, but they'll never say that. Because they believe that Jesus Christ is a heretic, a false prophet, you know, and honestly, what people don't realize about Judaism, look, I'm sick of hearing about the Judeo-Christian values. Don't be linking Judaism, modern-day Judaism, with Christianity. They are not the same religion at all. Not even close. You say, but what about the Old Testament? Look, modern-day Judaism, they don't believe the Old Testament. Just like Jesus said, hey, if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. Because they didn't believe Moses. They didn't believe the things that were written. They didn't believe the things that were written about them. The Pharisees of his day, that's modern-day Judaism. The Pharisee of Jesus' day, that religion continues. But that's the religion that rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the religion of the tradition of their fathers. That's why you have the Talmud, which teaches that Jesus Christ, and look, be very clear, I am not saying this, believing this, other than to inform you that this book says these blasphemous things. It says that Jesus Christ is burning in hell in his own excrement. That's what Judaism teaches. That's what the Talmud teaches. But they want to link up Christianity and Judaism, and you got a bunch of Christians out there that want to idolize the Jews because they think, oh, it's God's chosen people, and they're so special, and this and that. Look, they killed Christ. The religion of the Jews is anti-Christ. It is. Oh, you're so anti-Semitic. No, look. Look, the people that subscribe to that religion, I want them to get saved. I do. I want them to come to Christ, because if they don't, they're going to burn in hell forever. But that religion is of the devil. It's of Satan. It is the religion of Antichrist. Nothing supersedes Christ. Every single person, look, no man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. No one has a special ticket or a special pass into heaven. No one just says, oh, well, I'm a Jew, so I'm just going to go straight to heaven. No! John the Baptist warned about that. He says, look, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for God is able of these stones to raise up seed unto Abraham. That's what John the Baptist said. Why? Because people were believing that. And people still believe that today. They need a Savior. They need the Son of God to save their soul as much as any other sinner does. Jesus knew who he was. He claimed to be the Son of God, and here's where I started all this, saying, look, if Jesus were a prophet, but he was not God in the flesh, he was not the Son of God, if that's not who he was, you know, the Bible says that you are not supposed to bow down and worship anyone but God. Like commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then not to make any graven images or idols, thou shalt not bow down to them. You know, or worship them. Every instance where we see a man of God, a prophet, an angel, where somebody decides to get on their face and start worshiping that creature, they say, hey, get up on your feet. I'm a man like you. Hey, worship God, not me. That's what the disciples did. That's what other angels did. But you know what? When this guy gets down on his face and worships Jesus, we don't see Jesus saying, oh, no, 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 don't worship me. If he wasn't the Son of God, how could you call that man a man of God? And accepting the worship of men. And saying, oh, yeah, he's some great prophet. No. No, because if he's really not the Son of God, then he's a fraud. And see, that's what the Jews believe. That's why they have so many curses upon him. But the Muslims, they want to straddle the fence, and they'll say, no, no, he was a good prophet, but he's not the Son of God. Look, you can't have it both ways. You can't. You either believe what he said and what he taught, or you don't. I mean, if he's not the Son of God, then he's the biggest fraud in history and the worst antichrist in history. Look at John chapter 20. I mean, this is even more clear. We all know the story of doubting Thomas, right? John chapter 20. We'll read the story of Doubting Thomas, who he wasn't going to believe unless he had the physical evidence, unless he saw the proof. When everyone's talking about the resurrected Christ. Look at verse number 24, John chapter 20, the Bible says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Which, by the way, the Muslims also don't believe in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ either. They don't believe he was crucified. They actually believe that Judas was crucified, not Jesus. But that we'll go into that another time when I go continue that series. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. If this were not so, I mean, that's pretty bold. This is even more bold than people just falling down and worshiping him. He's saying, My Lord and my God. In order for Jesus to be a man of God, if he's not his Lord and his God, you better believe he's going to have to say, "Oh, hold on, you're going a little too far there, Thomas. I appreciate your faith, but that's not who I am." But that's not what he said. Let's read what he said, because we actually get to see exactly what he said in verse 29. "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." So what's he doing? Confirming his words. Yes, I am your Lord and your God. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Believed what? That you're their Lord and God. Verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Who was born? Not necessarily on December 25th. Who was born that we're celebrating the birth of? The Son of God. But why is this so important? Because we need to believe in the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. Your salvation is dependent on the Son of God being who he says he is. I'll read this for you in Acts chapter 8. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Acts 8, real famous passage, at least for those of us in this church. We have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the evangelist Philip goes in and preaches Jesus Christ to this Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8:35, the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began to say scripture and preach unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Which, by the way, if anyone is visiting our church or new to our church, you understand, why do you read out of the King James Bible? Why do you read these old words? Why do you hold to this and not go with some newer version? Well, this is a great example of why we don't. Just one of many, 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 many examples. Because when you read this passage in a modern version, you know what you're going to find? He asks a question, like it says in verse 36, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me baptized?" And then what happens if you're reading a modern version is you just start reading verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." There's no answer to the question because that verse is removed. Don't tell me these modern versions are just out there to help make things a little bit easier to understand. Well, it just takes out the thee and the thou. No, it takes out a lot more, like this entire verse. Well, let's see what he says. I mean, is this really that important of a verse anyways? I mean, come on. Verse 37, "And Philip said," so he asked a question, "Why can't I be baptized? What's hindering me? What's stopping me from being baptized right now?" And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now, first of all, he says, if thou believest. Do little babies and infants believe? Are they professing their faith in Jesus Christ? No. Oh, well, this looks like a great passage to debunk the baptizing of children. And I mean, when I say children, I mean like infants, little babies, okay? Obviously, at some age, children are able to get saved, but that baby baptism, hey, if thou believest, that's what's stopping you, because you have to believe. If thou believest, I miss. But then he answers and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when he heard that, that was enough for him to stop the chariot and then baptize him. He says, no, you have to believe first. Okay, what does he have to believe? He professed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that's what I believe. Okay, good enough. See, in Christianity, this is what you must believe to be saved. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In Judaism and Islam, this is exactly what you cannot believe. This is what they forbid. As much as, especially the Muslims, they try to be so ecumenical and so like, oh no, we all worship the same God and this and that. But you know what you cannot do? You cannot believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's exclusive. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how just with all the religions of the world, how everyone is going to be okay with all this other stuff, and oh yeah, Ten Commandments, all of this stuff. But you know, when it comes to Jesus Christ, that is the true dividing line. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That divides. How do you turn to Acts chapter 9? We're going to see right away the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes known as the Apostle Paul, right? Pretty important guy in the scriptures. Verse number 17 in Acts chapter 9, the Bible reads, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So this guy just gets saved. He just gets baptized. Look what it says in verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So what is it? He just gets saved. He's like, what is it that these Jews need to hear? He goes into the synagogue. He's like, man, I got to tell everyone about this. What does he go and say? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what needs to be taught. That's what needs to be preached. That's what's so important. That's what they didn't understand. That's what he didn't believe until he got saved. And how did he get saved? Because he believed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right. Please turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're almost done. First John chapter 5, we're going to start reading verse number 1. It's all the way near the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Sounds pretty important. That we have the right Jesus. That we know who the Son of God is. See, the people of Jesus' day, they understood what that meant to be called the Son of God also. Because you hear that today and be like, well, what's the big deal? He says he's the Son of God. Well, I'll read this verse for you in John 5, verse number 18. Stay in 1 John 5 because we're going to keep reading there. John 5, 18, the Bible says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So when you're saying, when he's saying, hey, I'm the Son of God, what he's implying is that he's equal with God. And see, they didn't like that because how could any man say that they're equal with God? Well, Jesus Christ, as Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't a problem for Jesus Christ to be equal with God because he is equal with God the Father. Because he is God. See, we're mortal flesh. We get to be called the sons of God, as 1 John 5:1 was stating at the beginning of the passage. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We get this privilege, but we only get this privilege through Christ. We become adopted children. We become children by virtue of Christ, through Christ, because Christ is the Son, and if we are in Christ, then we could also be called the sons of God. But see, Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ, unlike any other being, and I can even say human being, because Jesus Christ not only was deity, but was also human, and we're going to cover that a little bit more this evening. He was a human being, but he is the only begotten of the Father because of his birth, his miracle birth. Literally being formed of God in the womb from divine components as well as human component. Let's keep reading in 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Another great passage supporting the doctrine of the Trinity. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. God gave a record of his Son. And if you don't believe, like the Muslims do, that God doesn't even have a son, that's one of their core tenets, that God has no son, you're making God a liar. Because you're definitely not believing the record that God gave of his Son if you don't even believe God has a son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know what we're celebrating today? Life. Eternal life. The opportunity for people to get saved because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That sacrifice. We give gifts as a way to express our love. The ultimate gift was given for us from God in heaven, the sacrifice of his only begotten Son for us. Nothing can be greater than that. Nothing. It's too great. It's too expensive. God's love overshadows any love that we could possibly have for anybody. And he's proven that because he so loved the world that he gave. Now look, and I'll just make this comment real quick. Too many people tell you, oh, in order to be saved, you need to give your life to Christ. No, no, no. You've got it backwards. God gave his life for you so that you could be saved because he's the Savior. He doesn't need your life for you to be saved. He saves you. He made the sacrifice. He made the payment. But you know what you have to do? You have to accept that. You have to trust in that. You have to believe in that. Now, should we give our life to Christ? Of course we should. I mean, we should be trying to live our entire being and everything for God and for Christ. But that doesn't save you. Because trying to live your whole life completely sold out for the Lord is work. It's work. Doing right every day. Say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live by the Bible. I'm going to live by the Word of God. I'm going to try to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. That is work. That's work. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you living that righteous life, it's filthy rags to God. In order to try to achieve your salvation? No. Nothing is needed in addition to what Christ did for you. That payment was enough. There isn't a higher payment that can be made. Trying to add anything to the value of that, it's like making a $10 trillion payment, and then someone says, but I need to add this penny. Like, it's so far out of the realm of, like, being anywhere near that value at all. You don't need that extra penny on top of there to try to pay for things or pay for your sins or pay for, look, no, because that price tag is enough. It's been paid for. It's done. We trust in that. Does God want you to live your life for him? Yes, he does. But that's not what saves you. Christ saves you. Because God loved you enough to pay the price for your sin. And if you don't believe these things here in 1 John chapter 5, you make God a liar. What are the things again? This is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life. Given means it's a gift. Given means it's not earned. It's not sought for or worked. And, oh, man, I did all this work, and I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I went to church. I did all these things. No, it's given to you. It's given to you as a gift. God hath given to us. What has he given to us? Eternal life. Eternal means forever. Forever and ever and ever. You can't lose it. Once God's given you something that lasts forever, it has to last forever, or else God's a liar. And you're making God a liar by saying it's not eternal. Oh, well, I mean, you can't just, I mean, once saved, always saved. What do you mean by that? I mean it's eternal. Amen. Yep. And I mean that if you don't believe that, you're not believing the record that God gave, and you're making God a liar, because God said if you don't believe these things, you're making him a liar. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There is no other way. There is no, oh, we all believe the same God. No, it's Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. That's it. Yep. Only way. It's only in the Son. He that the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Those of you that believe on the name of the Son of God, I'm one of them, we know. We know we have eternal life. If you were to die today, are you 100% certain that you are going to go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because God's not a liar. I believe on the name of the Son of God. He's given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's eternal. I know I'm going to heaven. But you sinned this morning. I know. You probably did too. And I sinned yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. And it's not good, and it's not right, and I shouldn't do that. But you know what? Christ paid for all my sins. Amen. And I've already received eternal life. These things have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We celebrate Jesus Christ today. We celebrate that birth. We celebrate who he is. The fact that he is the Son of God, don't ever forget that. And you know what? As the Son of God, he deserves our respect. And his name ought not to be cast out or used in vain or used as an expletive. How many people these days say, oh, Jesus Christ, in a way that is not fitting at all for our Lord and Savior, the Son of God? They get mad about something and they start throwing out his name. They hurt themselves and they start throwing out that name. You know, that's what the Bible means when it's talking about using the name of the Lord in vain, using God's name in vain. That's what that means, because it's vain, because you are not reverently trying to speak to Jesus Christ. You're throwing out his name like a curse word. Have some respect for the Son of God. And if you want to celebrate this holiday as I do, as I like to, you know, do your children a favor too and explain that the gift giving, the celebration, the fun food, the fellowship is because we love the Son of God. We love God. We love the fact that that sacrifice was made. We love that he loved us first and gave us such a wonderful gift. So in celebration, we like to share that with others and show our love for other people in a similar fashion. Nothing adds up to what he gave for us, but we give to other people to show our love. And do yourselves a favor, don't give the gift giving to some fictitious character that's, you know, supposedly breaking into your house and giving gifts to your children, okay? You let them know that you love them. And we love Jesus, which is why we're celebrating and you're getting gifts. If you give gifts, and you know what? You don't have to give gifts at all. That's also not a command in the Bible. You have to give gifts on December 25th, which is probably not even when Jesus was born. Give or not give. But don't ever expect a gift. Never. Never expect a gift. We don't deserve it. We didn't deserve a Savior. But God gave it to us anyways. Thank God for that. No one ought to expect to receive anything from anyone. And you know what? If you don't receive anything from anyone, be content. Because God loves you and God gave you the greatest gift that could ever be given in the entire world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for that amazing gift of salvation. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for showing us all these great truths from the Bible. I pray that you would please be honored and accept our recognition this morning of you. And Lord, we love you. We care about you. I pray that you would please be with us, with our fellowship, with the eating of our nice food. We thank you for providing for us and that we have such abundance to be able to share with one another. Lord, please be with us and guide us and help our conversation to be holy, and that you would just help us ultimately to reach more people and share that great gift of salvation with others, especially this day of Christmas. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray that you please help them understand salvation and that they could receive the best Christmas gift ever today. And Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. And then, Brother Peter, when you're done with that song, do you mind just saying a blessing for the food before we depart and get things ready? Appreciate that.
Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs book. You should have it nearby somewhere. It's a binder. The song we're going to sing is Angels Have You Heard on High. angels we have heard on high. Angels have heard on high. Made it, Father. Let it nourish our bodies as well, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.